Welcome to a Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Scott Burton. It's Tuesday, May 15th, 2018. Thanks for joining us on today's show. Find out how you can fight crime by watching whales. Meet the Vega Quartet, classical musicians whose music has been described as a kind of clean intoxication. Sea Alaska Heritage Institute will highlight this June's celebration themed Respect, Weigh Your Words. And our community's high school principals will preview graduation. Those interviews, national native news, bird note, music, and more right here live and local on a Juno afternoon. Currently 52 degrees here in the capital city with blue skies and a light breeze coming out of the southwest.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Some gaming tribes are looking forward to having a seat at the table after the U.S. Supreme Court Monday opened the door to make sports betting legal in all states. Many in Indian gaming have been watching the case and discussing the potential impacts for tribes seeking to expand their businesses. The Oneida Nation of New York, which operates three casinos, is planning to begin sports betting. The tribe in a statement said, in anticipation of the high court ruling, the nation has made preparations to offer sports betting at venues throughout the Oneida Reservation to create new jobs and opportunities. The tribe says the 1993 Gaming Compact authorizes the nation to adopt any gaming permitted in New York without further approvals by the state and will now adopt sports betting. Other gaming tribes are urging caution and may need to negotiate with states, but have said they're interested in having discussions with other tribal leaders, policymakers, and industry leaders. It's primary election day in four states, including Idaho, where a Native American woman is running for governor. Paulette Jordan is a member of the Coeur d'Alene tribe and is a state lawmaker. Jordan is a Democratic candidate for the seat. Republican Governor Butch Otter is not seeking re-election. If elected, Jordan would be the first Native American governor of a U.S. state and the first woman elected governor of Idaho. A Nevada tribe is opposing Congressman Mark Amadei's bill to give more than 2,000 acres of federal land polluted by a mine to the company responsible for the cleanup. The Reno Gazette Journal reports the Yerington Paiute tribe says tribal leaders were not consulted and call the proposal an infringement on tribal sovereignty, threatening cultural sites and economic development, while supporters of the transfer say it will speed up cleanup and reduce taxpayer burden. The vice president of the Navajo Nation, Jonathan Nez, and runners kicked off a 400-mile run Monday from Fort Sumner, New Mexico to Window Rock, Arizona. The run is part of events to commemorate the 1868 treaty and Navajo people's return home. The run is also part of the annual Navajo Special Diabetes Program, running for a stronger and healthier Navajo Nation. Vice President Jonathan Nez.
One out of three of our Navajo people have diabetes. There's an epidemic happening within Indian country. Diabetes, heart disease, health problems. We being raised with getting up in the morning, being told to go run, exercise, that holistic approach to health and well-being, including prayers, that was being taught to us. That teaching was actually helping us combat the diabetes and heart disease. But how many of that teaching is still going on today?
Nez hopes the treaty run will spark interest in the overall health and wellness of Navajo people.
Just imagine how healthier and stronger our Navajo Nation can be 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. And 150 years from now, I see diabetes being gone off our Navajo Nation. I see farming and gardening to be brought back to the forefront because that's healthy foods. We don't even know what type of, where our foods come from or from our supermarkets these days. It's the same thing. About 95% of the foods that we consume on the Navajo Nation comes from grocery stores and stores that do not originate from the Navajo homeland. And so we've been having those discussions about how do we begin to inspire, to encourage farming and gardening to come back to the forefront for our families.
The run is being split into three stages with about 30 miles a day over 19 days. It will end at the Navajo Nation Museum on June 1st to coincide with other events to mark the 150th treaty anniversary. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service.
Support by the law offices of Sanofsky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller, and Monkman, a national tribal rights law firm with offices in Washington, D.C., New Mexico, California, and Alaska, and online at www.sanofsky.com.
Support by AARP, creating and connecting you to unique tools and content like Native Origins, incorporating Native American culture with recipes inspired by indigenous foods. More at aarp.org/Native Origins.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Tuesday, May 15th, 2018. Scott Burton, your host. It's about 6 minutes after the hour, and now joining me in the studio is Officer Blaine Hatch of the Juno Police Department and also Robin Paul. She's the treasurer of the Juno Crime Line Crime Stoppers nonprofit, and we're here to talk about that organization. We're going to talk about DARE, and we're also going to be talking about a wildlife cruise that supports pretty much all of this. Welcome to the show, you two.
Thank you.
It's nice to have you here. So, Robin, Juno Crime Line, you were telling me, started in 81?
Yes, Juno Crime Line was established in 1981 here in Juno and got its nonprofit status in 1984. So, it's been here a long time.
And that was a phone number you could call if you had any kind of tip.
That's right. We have we had a phone number for a long time that was anonymous, and it was called into the police station, but it came in on an anonymous line when they were downtown. Now that in the new building, with technology, that we found that nothing calling into the police department is anonymous, so we stopped, ceased, and desisted that line totally. We just got it reestablished, and it goes through a scrambler, and it is totally anonymous, yes.
It sounds like anonymity is very important for this process.
Well, it is. A lot of people, for whatever circumstance, prefer to have an anonymity, so we offer them that. We also offer them anonymity on our JunoCrimeLine.com website, which goes through another United States, actually, Crime Stoppers website, and that's also anonymous.
Okay, and you did indeed join with Crime Stoppers, so now you're one nonprofit here in Juno.
Yes.
It does your best to help facilitate getting anonymous tips to our police department.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes. We pay rewards for information on cold cases, tips on, we'd like the public to call in. Sometimes the police department runs out of leads, and so we help advertise a crime of the week or whatever they need our help with to get more information on particular crimes. So last year we paid out over $4,000 in DUI rewards and other rewards. And, you know, we can't really go out and toot our own horn and say, oh, we paid so-and-so X amount of money, because that would undermine the whole process. We keep things very quiet and behind the scenes.
So I was going to ask you for an example, and it sounds like DUI awards. This is when somebody sees an individual who appears drunk driving.
Yes.
And take it from there?
Well, DUI is driving under the influence, so it could be a variety of things. It could be prescription drugs, it could be alcohol, it could be other things that affect their driving. And people call, usually they would call 911 in that case, because that's an urgent emergency situation. They would not call our tip line, for instance, because while that is monitored, the urgency of getting a dangerous driver off the road would require 911. Okay. So they call in. We have if the caller is instrumental in getting that driver off the street, we pay a $200 reward. And then on holidays, like coming up Memorial Day, we pay a $400 reward. The police department doubles their patrols, and we double our tips, because the tip reward in that case.
Okay. Officer Blaine Hatch, you are the school resource officer, is that correct?
I am one of two.
You're one of two. Okay. I know we're going to be talking about DARE, but just thinking about this program here for a second, what does that mean to you guys to have this community partner, I guess, if you will, helping you out?
Well, from a patrol officer's standpoint, it's great because, like she was saying, if we can get tips brought in from the public that we wouldn't have access to, it allows us to further investigation and, you know, bring people who have committed crimes to justice, in essence, which brings peace and stability to our community and the victims' families kinds of situation. You know, it was pretty amazing because our DARE culmination, which is a graduation we do, we were always looking for funding like everything else. Money's tight everywhere you go. And they actually came to us and asked if they could donate to our program for our shirts or whatever we needed to do. And I thought it would go great for our shirts because that's a $20-some-hundred-dollar, you know, bill for we have all the fifth graders, you know, fourth and fifth and in the school district, you know. And we also do a couple private schools and home schools. So it adds up. And so they donated some money to us this year, and it is great. So
excellent. And remind us what DARE stands for?
The Drug Abuse Resistance Education Program.
And what grades does that encompass?
It targets fifth grade. We do have a seventh grade and a ninth grade curriculum due to staffing. We've primarily targeted the fifth grade. However, this year, seventh grade was able to be taught in DZ and Floyd Dryden.
Okay, so not only are you raising funds, Robin, to support Juno Crime Stoppers and Crimeline, but you also have extra funds to support things like DARE?
Well, it kind of came in an interesting way. We had a board member, Kathy Hildry, and she passed away, unfortunately, but she was very important to Crimeline. She had a lot of influence. She had a lot of input. She had a lot of community reach. And one of her passions was Juno's youth. And we thought as last year, this is the second year we've done this fundraising cruise, but last year we dedicated it to Kathy Hildry and focused on her passion, which was Juno's youth. And Juno Crime Line actually helped get the DARE program established in Juno. And it does reach out to youth, and it's a wonderful connection between the police department and our youth, and we just thought that was a perfect match for helping Juno be a safer, more responsible place. And so we decided to donate to the DARE program last year, and we have this cruise coming up Friday night with beautiful weather, and a portion of
perfect.
The proceeds will again be going to the DARE program.
Officer Hatch, can you give us an example of an interaction, say, you or one of your colleagues or someone in this program may have with a fifth grader as part of DARE?
As far as, well, what I love about the DARE program with our students is that it allows kids to see police as humans. And DARE is an intricate part, but it also allows students to see us, like I said, as humans, and we build relationships that way. And I can go on to several success stories from parents and kids over the years. I had one actually yesterday. A kid came to me in high school, was graduating. So I just want to thank you for being there, and you taught us these things. And because of that, I've stayed on the right path. It's just a piece. It's not a cure-all. You know, but it's extra information for kids to take and process. And also, they can take home and talk to their trusted adults at home about it, too, and allows the parents to have a leadway and to talk to their kids about what's important. And it establishes relationships. It's only one lesson on tobacco and alcohol. The rest are how to build healthy relationships and be productive, you know, members of society and those kinds of things. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Robin, if somebody, let's say, had a tip right now, on something, one of our listeners knows something that's going on that's not quite right in the community, what would be the best way to get that message to you and your colleagues?
There are two avenues. One would be to go on to junocrimeline.com, and there is all of the tip information there. They can send it in that way, or they could call our newly reestablished tip line, which is 523-7700. And both of those would guarantee anonymity and would get the information into the proper hands.
All right. Get your pens out, listeners. We'll repeat those in just a minute. So this wildlife cruise this Friday, the forecast looks really good.
It does. It'll be great fun.
Can you give us the details on how to get tickets?
Yes. It's going to be Friday night. It's a three-hour cruise, and it leaves Stater Harbor at 5:30. So we're asking folks to show up at 5:15, and tickets can be purchased at junocrimeline.brownpapertickets.com. or you can call me. I always have tickets with me, and my number is 723-6155.
Okay. 723-6155. And again,
right.
That's this Friday. And this is a fundraiser for Juno Crime Stoppers and Juno Crime Line.
Exactly.
To do what you do as far as the anonymous tips go, and then also supporting things like DARE.
Do I have time to add one more
thing?
You
do.
We get asked a lot, well, gosh, how successful is Crime Line, Crime Stoppers? And, you know, sometimes it takes a while for things to come to the surface. And cold cases in particular, we had two murders in Juneau, Johnny Jack murder in 1988 and then the Cindy Elrod murder in 1983. Both are unsolved. But in December, this past December, a tip was called in to Crime Stoppers that actually led to the arrest of two men in Juneau for a murder that took place in Anchorage in 1995. So you just never know when something may spur someone to get information that will help solve a case, and that's pretty important, and it's not an immediate end result, but sometimes over time, people will do the right thing.
Is there any crime that's too small to call Crime Stoppers?
No, I can't think of anything. If it's of concern to the community or to an individual in our community and they think that getting that information to law enforcement, I would encourage them to contact the lines.
And so go to JunoCrimeLine.com or call 523-7700.
Exactly.
And you can promise anonymity.
Absolutely.
Okay. And to support that institution, you can go on a wildlife cruise this Friday. And you can get tickets by calling Robin here at 723-6155. All right. Or you can go to JunoCrimeStoppers.com and find them there as well, right?
Right. Brown paper tickets, it's pretty easy. If you want to go that way, it's JunoCrimeLine.BrownPaperTickets.com as well.
Cruise leaving 5:15 out at Ock Bay this Friday.
In the sunshine.
In the sunshine. All right. We've been speaking with Robin Paul. She's the treasurer of the Juno Crime Line Crime Stoppers and also Officer Blaine Hatch of the Juno Police Department.
There we go.
It's been great having you both on the show. Is there anything we're missing? Anything you want to add?
No, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for doing what you do.
Lord, Juno Jazz and Classics continues the music this week with two-time Grammy winner Richard Stoltzman on clarinet and Mika Stoltzman playing the marimbas for a unique concert Thursday evening, May 17th at 7 p.m., including the Vega Quartet and Richard playing Mozart's clarinet quintet. See you at the Jack. Tickets there, Hearthside, or jazzandclassics.org.
This broadcast is sponsored in part by Foodland Pharmacy, now open Monday through Saturday at the Foodland IGA in downtown Juneau. Foodland Pharmacy is locally owned and operated, and prescription refill requests and orders are welcome. More information at 796-2280.
Are listening to a Juno afternoon here in the capital city. With me now in the studio, you may hear their music behind me, is the Vega Quartet. We have Elizabeth Fayette and Yinzi Kong. Elizabeth is a violin player and Yinzi is a viola player. And we also have Reggie Schaap, who is the executive director of Juno Jazz and Classics. Everybody, welcome to the show. It's nice to have you.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
All right. So what are we listening to right here, Elizabeth?
This is Beethoven's Quartet, Opus 18, number 5. And when we talk about opus numbers, we're talking about the order in which works were published. So this is the 18th collection that Beethoven published. And then within that set of 18, which is 6 string quartets, this is the 5th one.
Okay. Yinzi, when you think about playing this, I'm watching the video right over here. What was going through your mind as you made this?
Play in tune.
Don't mess up.
Make sure you blend in.
And you will be playing more Beethoven, is that tonight?
Absolutely, tonight.
Okay, excellent. For our listeners, I'm going to want to turn this up a little bit. What's something we should listen for in this song? What's something that you're proud of in it?
I think when you listen to all string quartet music, one of the things that sets the genre apart is how the different instruments, the 4 instruments, the 2 violins, viola, and cello, talk to each other. It's a very conversational genre, and even though each instrument has its archetypes, for example, the first violin tends to take the chatty role, tends to have the highest melody, the cello tends to be more taciturn but more grounded. But we also always take turns and switch roles around and muddle things up. So it's, I think, as a listener, one of the great arts and one of the great joys about listening to string quartets and Beethoven in particular is how these characters interact with each other and either support each other or sometimes even, like in life, argue with each other.
Yinzi, anything to add to that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think the other part that goes through our mind whenever we play Beethoven on top of play in tune and play together is really have fun. and have a conversation in the most intimate level with this master.
Okay, let's take a listen here. Absolutely beautiful. It's fun to watch you two listen to your own music as well. What were you thinking about there, Elizabeth?
Well, I think as musicians, every piece is a lifelong journey, and your relationship with the piece changes. And when you play with a string quartet, it is your own personal relationship with the piece and also your relationship to the quartet and the quartet's relationship to the piece. So I was thinking this was recorded just over a year ago in April 2017, I think April 30th, 2017. And I was thinking about how much my relationship to Beethoven has changed just in that year of playing string quartets. And also I was itching for a second chance to play it.
How about you, Yinzi?
I feel like when we play, you know, there are different kind of compositions for any genre, I guess. But for quartet, there are always pieces I feel like to be a little bit matter-of-factly that benefit from our playing. But there are pieces that we benefit from every time we play it. And Beethoven is definitely the later. I just feel like every single time we play it, after we play it, we receive, people clap and applaud and we bow. Every single time I bow after Beethoven, I always feel like I'm bowing to the master.
Wow. And so you're going to indeed be playing Beethoven tonight at 7 o'clock at the Jack.
Yes.
And what's that going to be like?
Very different.
Very different. So this quartet that you're hearing, Opus 18, number 5, is from what we define as Beethoven's early period, where he takes the tenets of the classicism that were really set forth by Haydn and Mozart, and not only proves that he can belong to that club, but expand upon that club. But Opus 130, which is what we'll be playing tonight, is rather from his early period, is instead from Beethoven's late period, which really encapsulates the last 10 years of his life when he was, first of all, completely deaf, and secondly, had completely abandoned any pretense of caring for convention.
Interesting.
So it is a much more expanded piece. It is a much more emotionally, I guess, varied would be the word I would use. It is so dramatic, and it's also... You know, this is a funny way to say it, but I feel like when you see late Beethoven, you have something that's so truthful, it really gets to the heart of, like, the best that humanity has to offer.
Interesting. And I was thinking about how much your relationship to Beethoven changed in 1 year. I was thinking about his relationship to his music, and in that 10-year span of the music we just listened to must have changed dramatically, as you say.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
If we see all these music forms, such as, string quartet, piano trio, as a vehicle or container to hold what the composer wants to express. I feel like in his early period, you still notice it's string quartet, the vehicle. But when he eventually developed into late quartet, you cannot define it with just string quartet music. It's just music or human expression. It has gone beyond what the form was designed to do in the best way possible.
Okay. Reggie, were you able to make it to the brown bag lunch today?
I sure did. It was beautiful. The kids were in trip.
You got to all play in the SOB today,
yes,
right?
Yes.
In the atrium.
Yes.
What did that look like, Reggie?
It looked like it was a sea of children out there watching and listening to this beautiful music. And they were so entertaining in their stories that they kept the children just enthralled with what they were doing.
And if you've never been to a brown bag lunch at the SOB, I highly recommend it. They're free. It's one of the events that Juno Jazz and Classics puts on to get music out to our community. Reggie, what day are we in now of Juno Jazz and Classics?
We're in day 12, and we have 4 days left. Tomorrow we will have our last brown bag at the State Office Building with Grammy Award-winning clarinetist Richard Stoltzman and our artistic director William Ransom accompanying him on piano. So it will be a fun last one to close out our brown bags this year. And then tomorrow night, we have workshops with some of the most fantastic artists. All of the Vega Quartet will be available for youth classes, are starting at 5, ending at 6:30, adult classes starting at 7, ending at 8:30 out at UAS. We'll also have Gary Motley doing jazz out at UAS. And we'll have Bradley Howard, the beautiful tenor, if anyone was out putting on the Ritz, will be doing vocal classes out at UAS. And then back at the Jack, we have Mika Stoltzman on marimba and Richard Stoltzman on clarinet. And again, classes are 5 to 6:30 for youth and 7 to 8:30 for adults.
And that's tomorrow.
And that's tomorrow. Tickets are still available for tonight's performance, The Best of Beethoven. You can get them online until 5 o'clock, or you can show up and we'll have them available at the door.
Okay, that's 7 o'clock tonight at the Jack. You can hear the Vega Quartet, who's in the studio with me now. So I have a feeling that our classical music heads out there will be there tonight. What about a person that maybe is not so into classical music? How might you convince them to come?
Well, I think the same way you would convince someone, well, not even convince someone, but tell someone about a great piece of architecture or an incredible piece of artwork at a museum. These are really some of the pinnacles of what humankind and human civilization has achieved as a work of art. In fact, the piece that we're playing tonight, Opus 130, one movement was actually chosen by the astronomer Carl Sagan to be put on the Voyager shuttles as an example of what humankind can accomplish artistically. So currently a recording of the Cavatina movement from Opus 130 is roaming the universe looking for other intelligent life. So I think that any person, regardless of your current relationship to classical music as a genre, would find that this music is compelling because the emotions are so universal that they really speak, I think, to everyone.
All right, Yinzi?
Absolutely. I think the best music, like by, say, by Beethoven, by Bach, there's a common thread is they are like the best diamonds. There are so many different angles. They shine from every single angle. Doesn't matter, you know, how you look at it. It's just so relatable. And you don't have to go there as a classical music lover. You don't have to go there as a music lover. Just go there as another human being and have a conversation or communication with another one that is in the deepest level possible and without any judgment.
Wow, great answers. Reggie, remind us where we can find information on all of these concerts and workshops.
At jazzandclassics.org, or you can call us at the office at 463-3378.
Elizabeth Fayette, am I saying your last name right?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, and Yinzi Kong. They will be playing tonight. See them live at the Juno Arts and Culture Center, 7 p.m. Not to be missed. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Anything else you'd like to add?
Just we hope to see all of you there.
All right. Thanks, everyone. You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Tuesday, May 15th. It's about 20 minutes till the top of the hour. Right now we're listening to the Vega Quartet playing Beethoven. They're playing tonight, 7 o'clock, at the Juno Arts and Culture Center. Check them out.
Thank you. NOAA Fisheries reminds you, please do not feed stellar sea lions. Feeding sea lions is illegal and could result in aggressive sea lion behavior. Clean your fish and discard fish waste out of reach of stellar sea lions. Keep your distance. Stay at least 100 yards away from these animals. Feeding, harassing, or harming stellar sea lions is illegal under federal law. To report an incident, please call NOAA Enforcement at 1-800-853-1964.
This is Bird Note. In spring, around low marshy spots in open country, listen for this sound coming from somewhere up in the sky. It's the winnowing sound of the Wilson's snipe. Look up, and you may see the bird itself. The snipe, a brown, heavily striped sandpiper with a very long bill, lives in marshes and muddy areas where it probes for worms and other squirmy delights. But when spring comes, it takes to the air. The male snipe circles high above in a series of roller coaster arcs, each descent marked by this loud and distinctive sound. His rapidly beating wings force air through his widespread outer tail feathers, which are narrow and stiff. The resulting tremolo seems more than could come from a couple of tail feathers. Each burst of sound has a Doppler effect, like the whistle of a passing train. Snipes also sing from the ground. In this case, a song like that of many other birds in spring. But it is the winnowing that captures our attention. A twitter-pated sandpiper making music with two wings and a tail. Take a field trip with your local Audubon. If you're lucky, you could see a snipe. Begin with a visit to birdnote.org.
Hello, this is Stephen Pfister, Facility Manager at Centennial Hall, part of the CBJ Parks and Recreation. Centennial Hall, Juneau's Convention Center, located in the heart of downtown's Willoughby District, is an important economic generator in our community, hosting a variety of events with over 80,000 people attending each year. Events include the Alaska Folk Festival, Celebration, and a variety of conventions, conferences, and fundraisers. For more information, call 586-5283 or visit our website at centennialhall.net.
Listening to a June afternoon here on Tuesday, May 15th, 2018. Scott Burton, your host, and in the studio with me now, two people who are probably happy to hear this music coming up. Paula Kasperson, the principal over at JDHS, and also Graham Story. He's a teacher and the graduation organizer at Thunder Mountain High School. Welcome to the show, you two.
Thank you.
It's nice to have you here. So let's see, how many days of school do we have left, you two?
Well, if we're counting today, I think there are 7 days of instruction left, and then we've got some graduation practice and an in-service day, and then the actual commencement ceremonies.
Is everybody ready?
I think so. JD kicks off at 1, or kicks off at 4, we'll kick off at 7.
And this is on the 27th of May for everyone, right?
Yep. The events actually start on the day with the Yakuska Dakahiti graduation. That happens over at Centennial Hall at 1 o'clock. And this year, JDHS has the 4 o'clock slot, so we'll follow. And then Thunder Mountain will wrap up the commencement ceremonies and kick people off into the Safe Grad event.
All right. How's the year gone for you guys?
You know, I think it's been a great year. I mean, every year this time, everyone's kind of in a hurry-up mode. Hurry up, get it done. Hurry up, time to panic. But it's also a great time to reflect on the school year and reflect on how things have gone. And surprisingly, jump into the planning for the next school year already.
Yeah, how about over at Thunder Mountain?
You know, we had a good year. At this point, at this time, we always met, say, how can we have gotten here so quickly?
Right.
Like,
mm-hmm.
It was just August, and now, 3 weeks from now, we'll be starting the new school year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I don't know how old you two are, but I graduated from high school in 94. I'm just wondering, has high school changed since 1994?
we're not going to tell you how old we are when we graduated.
You don't have to, but I have a feeling you know.
Yeah. I mean, high school is certainly not a static experience. It's pretty dynamic for everybody who has the chance to experience it. And those of us who consistently go back to high school, I think this is my 25th year, if you count the four I actually attended for a diploma. Every year is kind of a new ball game.
Wow. How so? What's an example? I mean, I can only imagine with social media and technology.
It's more than just social media. Nowadays, we have things like Chrome carts. Mm-hmm. Almost every student has their own laptop. They don't have the laptop, and they have their smartphones, and we really start putting our instructional messages on the Internet, something called Google Classroom, of all things, and the students really can't get away from us.
No more cursive handwriting classes?
No. Can you believe that? Nobody teaches that as like a part of an adopted curriculum. It's crazy. I think that the technology is certainly a big piece, but I also think that we have really, in education, worked hard to have some systems of accountability, and that includes for students, but also for our education professionals, and really the idea of a dynamic system is truly the intent and purpose. So you don't have principals who are managers, you have principals who are in the classroom and who are there trying to interact regularly as an instructional leader, and that's a difference.
I saw that you're an AVID teacher as well.
I am. I teach a sixth period class, yeah.
And what does AVID stand for?
Advancement via Individual Determination. It's kind of a college readiness, leadership, how to survive high school class all in one. I have 9th and 10th graders, and it's been a great experience to go back into a classroom as a part of my regular day.
Interesting. Graham, what do you teach?
I teach U.S. History, AP U.S. History, and just pretty much anything they need me to teach. Next year I'll be teaching back in the English department, and yeah. Yeah. But I do have to say I was at prom this past weekend, and I graduated before 91, but at the 2018 prom I did hear some songs at that prom that was playing at my prom.
Yeah, I mean, there's always music.
All right. So give us the details again on graduation. And it's designed so we could go to every graduation,
yep,
right?
It is. And it's great. And there are people, certainly school board members and our superintendent, who go to multiple ceremonies. But it really is designed so that families who have students who go to multiple schools can be a part of that. JDHS retains a ticketed event, so our graduates still get 10 tickets each. People who are needing more are encouraged to kind of barter with their classmates who might not be using all of them. We start that week off really, well, actually we start senior send-off with scholarship night events this week, awards assemblies at our schools, baccalaureate, which is Tuesday the 22nd at 6, and then, of course, the commencement ceremonies.
Okay, and the 27th, remind me what day of the week
that is. Sunday.
That's Sunday.
It's
okay, so
Sunday.
Not this Sunday, but next?
Next Sunday.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. We can have a way. So one of the big differences at Thunder Mountain is that we don't have a ticketed system, and I think that's turning around and hurting us a little bit this year because we have our largest ever senior class.
It's exciting.
Which is exciting. It's great. But I've had multiple students come up to me and say, Mr. Story, I'm inviting 10, 15. I had one student say, I have 30 people coming. So we're looking at an overflow crowd. And so right now we're in the process of trying to figure out how to simulcast our graduation from the main gym into the auditorium. And we're asking mm-hmm. that some of those excess guests, they're all important, but perhaps some of them could be in the auditorium and watch the video there.
Okay. But the main event is in the gym.
In the main gym at 7.
At JD, it's in the auditorium.
No, we also do our graduation ceremony in the main gym.
Okay. All right. What else should people know as they get ready for the end of the school year? Maybe some parents are listening out there.
Yeah, I mean, I think we want to keep the focus on being present and in the moment every day through Thursday, which is the last day of school, the 24th probably, if that's a Thursday. We want to make sure that students and families are finishing off the year as strong as they can, that they're returning things like textbooks and library materials, they've cleared out lockers. I mean, there's kind of a checkout process, but there's also that planning process for our next school year, which is, like I said, kind of counterintuitive to wrapping up the year, but it's pretty exciting also.
Okay. Thinking about some of your students heading off to college, probably without using names or anything, what's the farthest you can think of right now? And is there like a school where a lot of kids are going? What's that look like?
I've got a kid going to Rochester Institute of Technology, which is a pretty far away school. Usually I have one or two on the East Coast, but I haven't heard of that yet. And then, of course, we have that really, really far away school, UAS. It's going to get quite a few of our kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, people forget it's there until it's time to go there.
Yeah.
I don't know about distance-wise. I feel like there's just a sprinkling of students that go everywhere, including some international opportunities. I think that historically, Juno High School students transition well to a variety of pockets in the Northwest. There are some Washington, Idaho, Oregon areas where we find little clusters, if you will.
Okay. So, graduation coming up on May 27th. What time is it at Juno Douglas again?
It's at 4 p.m.
And out at Thunder Mountain?
At 7.
Okay. And if people want more information about all of this, where's the best place to get it?
Oh, my gosh. Just call JDHS for any of the information. We are so looking forward to celebrating approximately 135 class of 2018 graduates on the 27th. Call, and we're happy to direct you where you need to go.
And how many out at yours?
We have 160 this year walking across the stage. And, of course, call Thunder Mountain if you have any questions or information. Our senior breakfast is coming up on that final Thursday, and we're going to welcome the parents and the seniors and start their big send-off.
All right. That's the voice of Graham Story, teacher and graduation organizer out at Thunder Mountain High School. And also Paula Casperson is here in the studio, principal and teacher at Juno Douglas High School. It's been great talking to both of you. Congratulations on another year.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Anything else you'd like to add?
Juno produces a lot of great high school students, and I'm happy to be working with some of them.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks. Thanks for tuning in to a Juno Afternoon. It's currently 53 degrees here in the capital city. And the forecast for tomorrow, Wednesday, calls for mostly sunny skies with a high near 60. But heads up, gardeners, getting into this evening, there is actually a frost advisory for certain low-lying areas. So cover your gardens. Thanks for tuning in to a Juno Afternoon.